He is always, always greater. And as the song said, we have a tendency to build walls of confinement in our minds as to who God is. And then we function within those walls and completely limit our lives. The song says, break down those walls so that we can understand you for who you really are. That's my heart's prayer this morning as we begin this series on Fired Up. We're going to look this morning at the wow factor, or the fire of God's glory. It will definitely bust the walls down. It will definitely move beyond perhaps your preconceptions of who God is and how He operates. Will you join me in prayer before we begin? Father, we thank you for this wonderful song that we've heard that is a testimony to your greatness and a prayer that expresses our deepest desire to know you. Will you please, in these moments as we venture into your word, will you please speak to our hearts through your word, by your spirit? Speak in a way that no human voice can speak. Speak deeply to us, Lord, and cause transformation, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have you ever noticed that memory is an amazing gift? But so is forgetting. We probably all have things that we would like to forget in life. Well, there are two things in life that... Does it help if I move forward? There are two things... Maybe turn down the monitors. Okay, great. There are two things in life that are very, very hard to forget. One is woes, and the other is wows. The woes are the awful things, the painful things, the things that hit us hard and cause a bombshell to go off inside of us, a bombshell of destruction. It's very hard to forget those things. The wows are the opposite. They're kind of an explosion as well, but an explosion of joy, of happiness, of thrill, of excitement. When you just, your whole being wants to go, wow! You've had those moments, haven't you? Well, those two are hard to forget. I remember, I'll never forget. I can't forget the exhilaration of letting go of a piece of metal attached to the wing of a plane and free-falling through the sky with a rush of wind passing me. And it was one of those wow moments. And then the parachute picks me up and or holds back and lands me safely on the earth. That was definitely a wow moment in my life. But I also remember hitting the ground hard and breaking bones when I fell off a building without a parachute. Woes and wows, we remember them. We can't forget them. Well, before Moses died, he tried to get the Israelites ready for the promised land. And to do so, he reminded them of the woes and the wows of their journey out of Egypt and to their present location just prior to entering the promised land. The book of Deuteronomy is a collection of those recollections. Our passage today recalls one of the greatest wows in human history, the giving of the Ten Commandments and the awesome display of God's fiery glory and majesty that accompanied it. We've heard the passage read already. Before we examine that story, though, this morning, I want to ask you, what's your wow? What is it that gives you pleasure in life? What is it that lights you up like a light bulb? Now, I know some of you are more extrovertish. Some of you are more expressive in your personality. You can get excited over the chairs being cleaned. And some of you are very conservative. It's hard to get you to move in any dimension because you're just a conservative person. That's okay. But everybody gets lit up by something. What's your wow? What's the biggest wow that turns you on, that turns your crank, that gets you going, whatever you want to call it? What is it that lights you up? For little children, it can be the simplest toy. Teenagers, it gets a little more complicated. And then for us adults, we need a myriad of pleasures and possessions and positions, and on and on and on it goes. Whatever your wow is, whatever brings you wow in life, I can guarantee you a couple things. Number one, it's going to be short-lived. It's going to get over very quickly. And you're going to need a bigger fix, a bigger wow next time. Today I want to introduce you to the biggest and best wow ever. God is wow. God is wow. When I say that, I mean a wow like you have never seen, never dreamt, never imagined. God is such a wow that every other wow in life shrinks into nothingness when standing up in comparison to Him. From the passage this morning, we're going to see three amazing truths about God's glory and His majesty, which reveal to us once and for all that God is the ultimate, the perfect wow. That's what we're going to look at. The first thing we see in this passage is that God is wonderful. Now, when I use the term wonderful, I don't mean the way we commonly use it. You know, oh, this is a wonderful day, or that was a wonderful pizza last night, or a wonderful party. I'm not talking about... The word means full of what? Wonder. Full of wonder. Have you ever realized that when you think about God, He's full of wonder? Is there anybody here who can explain God? There is no possible way that a human being can fully comprehend the glory and majesty of God. That would be like a one-cell amoeba trying to comprehend advanced calculus. It doesn't work. It's impossible. Completely different dimensions. For example, think about God's immensity, His size. This is just one aspect of God's nature and character. Our sun is without question the biggest ball of fire we've ever seen. But it's only one of about 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Now it takes light traveling from our sun 93 million miles. You know how long it takes to get to Earth? Only 8.5 minutes. That's how fast light travels. Well, if you could travel the speed of light, do you know how long it would take you to get from one end of our galaxy to the other? 100,000 light years. That's how wide, give or take a couple miles. That's how wide our galaxy is. But our galaxy isn't the end. It's only one galaxy of billions of galaxies in the universe. Billions, not millions. Billions of galaxies. And the telescopes cannot yet probe the edge of the universe. The furthest, the most distant visible object to human beings through telescopes is measured at 18 billion light years away. And that's in only one direction. And yet the Bible says that God holds the entire universe in the palm of His hand. Now, does that kind of move out your categories a little? Does that break down some of the walls a little in terms of who God is? He knows every single detail about every single thing within His universe. Somebody sent me this picture this past week. It was taken by the Hubble telescope, and way out in the outer heavens, they found this gas formation. You know what they nicknamed it? The Eye of God. Isn't that interesting? Now, it's obviously not God's physical eye, but it reminds us of an amazing biblical truth. That God, who is so vast that we cannot comprehend Him, who holds the entire universe in the palm of His hand, He looks down through His universe all the way down to you and me, and He sees us. He knows us completely. The Bible says He even knows how many hairs we have on our head. And He has to recalculate for me every day. He knows every detail about your life. He knows every hurt that is in your heart this morning, every pressure that is upon you, every struggle you face, all the hurts of your... He knows it all, dear friends. He's fully cognizant and aware of every detail. And God also saw the Israelites in Sinai. He knew full well what they were going through. You see, I find the most wonderful thing about God is not how large He is or how much He knows, but that this amazing, incomprehensible God, this incomprehensible Creator, would choose to come into His creation and focus on this little planet. This little place, this little group of people, and reveal Himself to us. That's because God reveals. He is wonderful in many, many ways, but one of the primary wonders of His nature is that He chooses to reveal Himself. He chooses to expose Himself to us and let us know who He is. He speaks. He communicates. He enters into our little world and he lets us know a reality as that is beyond the confines of what our little brains can comprehend and figure out. You think about how much of goes on in this world is based upon what we can calculate, what we can figure, what we can tabulate on our little electronic calculators. If it doesn't say it on our calculator, then God can't do it. Oh, come on! If it doesn't fit our budget, if it doesn't fit my plans, if it doesn't fit my circumstance, God can't do that. Do you see the boxes that we have in our mind? He is always greater. He has revealed himself as a God who speaks into our life, speaks into our circumstances, and communicates. In verse 24 of our passage, we read these words. The people realize, "The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty." And what is that? What glory and majesty did they get revealed to them? "We have heard his voice from the fire." We heard his voice from the fire. He reveals himself. He communicates to us. Now, what glory did they see besides the voice? You see, those people back there didn't have the details that you have this morning. They had no comprehension of how far the sun was. They had no comprehension that we were in a galaxy as wide as it was, or that there were other galaxies out there. They knew nothing compared to what you know about God's majesty, and yet they were wowed. They did not have the revelation of Christ. They didn't know that God became flesh and came to this planet and died for the sins of humanity so that we could be reunited with God. They didn't know that yet, and that they were still wowed. What was it that wowed them there? Well, the Bible says God spoke to them from fire, cloud, and darkness on Mount Sinai. Think about it. Fire, cloud, darkness. In my simple scientific mind, those three don't cohabit. If you have fire, it dispels darkness and it dries up cloud. And yet those three were together and God spoke out of them. You see, I can't figure that out, that little scientific thing. I can't figure it out. And neither can I figure out God. I can't understand a little scientific thing like that. How can I begin to comprehend the majesty and glory of God? And those people knew that there was something miraculous going on here. They saw wonder. They saw a God full of wonder, full of something they couldn't humanly explain. And out of the amazing thing that they couldn't explain or understand, this unexplainable God spoke to them. And inside they went, wow. Wow. Now, what did the Israelites hear? I don't know if God spoke to them in baritone or tenor, but we know what he said. He wanted to make sure they understood what he said, so he inscribed it in stone and gave it to them in tablets through Moses. They were the Ten Commandments. God wanted everybody to know what is really important to him and what should be important to us as we relate to him as his creatures. God spoke. He still does. He's a communicating God. He speaks through creation. You know, you have to try really, really hard to go out and see those pictures that I showed you tonight, or just to go out in the desert and look at the sky. You have to try really hard not to believe in God when you see his creation. Or go to a telescope and look at the amazing universes within an atom. And then say it all just happened. You have to work really hard not to believe in God. Because he speaks through his creation. He also speaks through conscience. He speaks through the Holy Spirit-inspired dreams and visions. He speaks through the community of believers. And primarily, he speaks through Christ, the living word and the written word. God communicates. He speaks to his people. He speaks loud and clear. Do you want more wow in your life? Not just another fix for the weekend, but wow that will expand your heart and your mind into the dimensions that God created you for? Do you want that kind of wow? Nothing will ever come close to the wow you experience when you have intimate contact with your Creator. Take time to discover the wonderful nature of God. Catch a glimpse of His glory and His majesty. And learn to hear His voice. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You may say, but Pastor, how does this happen?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
The second characteristic of God's glory and majesty we see in this passage is that God is open. He's open. What do I mean by that? Well, most people around the world from the various world religions, if you ask them or probe their theology, their understanding of what God is like, you would discover a God who is closed, a God who is unapproachable, a God who basically maybe sets things in motion, does whatever he wants. He may even be sovereign and in control, but humans have no say about it. We're his plebes on earth, and we just respond to whatever he does, and that's okay. Most religions, or even in their entreaties to their gods, they're trying somehow to do what they can do, hoping to manipulate him, but not really sure that they'll ever have any voice or ever be heard. The wonderful truth about the Bible is that we have a God who reveals himself as one who relates. God relates to us. He enters into our world. He comes near. He invites us into personal relationship. He wants to know us intimately, and he wants us to know him intimately. This is amazing. If you go back to our passage in verse 24, this is another thing that the people said after their encounter with God's glory and majesty. They said, "Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him." Now think about this. This is quite a revelation. Because these people, you know, probably had the view that most people in the world have, that God is out there, we are down here, you know, maybe once in a while we'll catch a glimpse or hear some truth, but not a whole lot going on. And if God should ever to show up, well, you're toast. You're dead meat. There's no way you can survive that. And they're saying, just a minute here, today the Lord showed us, what did he show us? We have seen that a man can, what? Not just survive, not just limp by, not just make it. A man can live. A man can come to life. A man can find out what he was created for. A man can experience, a man, woman, okay, all of us can experience the full dimensions of what we were fashioned for if God speaks with him. Does that excite you? Now, who's one of the most important people in your mind in the world today? Think of that person. You've probably never met him. He's way out there. So he or she is out there. Some important, rich, wealthy, political figure. I don't know. Imagine if that person walked in here this morning. And we probably wouldn't stop our service for him. But in a regular setting, most people would kind of turn and stand in awe as this person would walk into a group of people. And imagine that they walked right up to you. In the midst of the crowd, they walked up to you. Well, how would you feel? Most of us would go, oh my goodness. We'd get dry mouth and our hands would start to shake and we're, you know. Now, some of you are diplomats. You're used to hanging around big people. But for the rest of us, that's a little unnerving. Now, imagine that person walks up to you and he doesn't just talk at you. He talks with you. He engages you in conversation to the point where you understand that you're valuable to him and not just a plebe. He may even put his arm around you and get your picture taken with him. Wow. We were at a house this week with the Reimers for supper, and they said this summer they were in a house where the people apparently were had high political connections, and they had pictures of themselves with the president and with other highfalutin people all around their house, well positioned, so that you knew. Now see, we would think it'd be something to get our picture taken with somebody important like that. But think of that person wanting their picture with you. We see if God showed up here today in physical form and we had the cameras going, you know what? He'd go and take you by the hand. Can live when God talks not to him, not at him, not around him, with him. Hallelujah. He talks with him. I love this. Do you see how this is part of God's majesty? His glory? Do you remember the time when after Jesus was raised from the dead, he appeared a number of times to various disciples. And there's one passage at the end of Luke's gospel where he appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. And they talked with him. Their eyes were kind of blinded from knowing it was him. But the whole journey, he opened the scriptures and he basically walked them through the Old Testament, revealing all the issues of the Messiah. And then he sat down with them at the inn and they broke bread. And when he broke bread, their eyes were opened. They realized it was Jesus and he disappeared. Do you remember their response? What did they say? Read it with me. Go ahead. Were not our hearts burning within us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Or when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts what? Burning. Burning. Fire. Life. Wow. When God himself was talking with them, the natural response is burning hearts. Flaming hearts. A wow that nothing else can put there. Word communicates. God speaks because he is wide open. He relates to us and he is eager to do so with each one of you. Because that's who he is. It's part of his glory and his majesty. The third thing we see about God's glory and majesty, an amazing truth about it from this passage, is that God is willing. He's willing. In verse 24, we just read that, where they said, "Today we've seen that a man can live even if God speaks to him." That's an amazing revelation. But you know what the very next verse is? The very next verse, they carry on. It's unbroken in the text. They said, "But why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we haven't survived?" It's like, duh, you just did. Do you see what's going on here? In one verse, oh, wow, we just heard God talking with us. It was explosive in our soul. It was awesome. We came to life like we've never lived before. But don't let it happen again. Don't let it happen again. Scare the wits out of me. It's too dangerous. It can't happen again. We'll surely be toast if it ever happens again. That's the response. Isn't that weird? We get a hint at it in Exodus 24:17, where it says, "To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain." Anybody like to go into consuming fires? I don't think any of us do. It looks dangerous. And even though they had experienced it, this wasn't just theory. They had experienced it. They were still so scared they didn't want it to happen again. You know why that is? It happens to us too. That's because the wow and the woe always go together. So do the pleasure and the price. You think to any wow that you've ever had in your life, and I can guarantee you there's a price tag on it. Every wow we experience involves some measure of pain, some calculated risk, something that we've had to change or put out for in order to get the wow. It's just life. Before I enjoyed the thrill of skydiving, I had to let go of the security of that beam on the wing of that airplane. I have to let go. That's a price to pay. Before I enjoyed the rapturous wonder of looking into the eyes of my beloved on my wedding day and saying, "I do, I take you to be my wedded wife," I had to, in very many respects, say no to all the other women in the world. That's a big price. Now, not that any of them wanted me, but still. You can't have one without the other. You can't have yes here without no there. It's impossible. There's always a price. Always a price. Now, before we can enjoy the fire of God's glory and majesty, we have to experience the blaze of His holiness and allow Him to consume all of our other loves. God Himself describes the relationship as a marriage. He will not have other loves. He does not want us prostituting our love. He doesn't want it. Oh, God, I love You. I choose You above all others. Every Friday morning at 11. And then the rest of the week, I live with my other lovers. God says, it doesn't work that way. You can't enter into the wow of my relationship and expect that wow all weekend long or all week. It doesn't work that way. The wow and the woe go together. The price and the pleasure go together. In Deuteronomy 4:23 and 24, Moses said to the people, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that He made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. Now, quite frankly, for many, many people, when it comes to experiencing God's wow, the price is too high, and so they miss the pleasure. The woe is too scary, and so they miss the wow. Instead, they find a compromise. In verse 27 of our passage, I find this fascinating. They said to Moses, go near. You go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? That sounds so spiritual. Most pastors would be absolutely thrilled if their congregants would say something like this. It's a wonderful story, but you know what? It sounds so good, but it sounds so second best. This is kind of like, you know, eating pita and fool while somebody sitting at the next table is eating your favorite meal. Whatever that is. Steak, baked potato, corn on the cob, your favorite fruit salad. I don't know what it is. Turkey and all the trimmings. Different countries, it'd be different things. But your favorite meal. You're eating the simplest of fare while they're eating your favorite meal. And they say, do you want some? And you say, no, you eat it and just tell me what it tastes like. And none of us would be that stupid. Would we? No, you want it. And yet these people had just experienced the most amazing wow in their life. They'd heard God Himself in mystery speak to their heart, communicate with them. And then they say, Moses, from now on, you listen to Him and tell us what He says. You eat the meal, give us the leftovers. You chew it up and then spit it out and put it into our mouths. That's what they said. And that was okay with them. It amazes me. I have to admit to you, I absolutely love sharing God's truth with you. I love it. His Word, it just comes alive for me, and I want you to see how rich it is and how full it is. But if you're only hearing God through my voice, you're shortchanging yourself. God has something better for you. God wants to speak with you. And you'll find that you can live. God is willing to reveal Himself. He's willing to relate. And He's eager to reward. He longs to reward those who enter into that kind of intimate relationship with Him. Look at verse 29, the end of the passage there. This is God speaking. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands for always. So that, why? Say it with me. So that it might go well with them and their children forever. God is not saying, I wish they would keep my commandments so I could make them real straight and narrow people who wouldn't have any fun in life, and everybody in life would look at them and say, oh, those awful religious people. God did not say, I want them to keep this thing because all that is fun over there and I don't want them to have any fun anymore. This is the creator of the universe who holds it all in the palm of his hand, who looks down through the universe and reveals himself to us. This is God's heart saying, oh, if only my people would know that I want to bless them. If only they would incline their ear, listen, keep my commandments. Why? So I could bless them. So it would go well with them and their kids and their kids and their kids and their kids. God longs to reward. He longs to reward. You know, there's about 10 of us guys who went up skydiving. As I said before, it was an awesome. But we got down to the ground and noticed that one guy never made it. Started looking at the ground somewhere, you know. He came back down to the plane. He got up there, got to the edge, grabbed the beam, looked down. And he couldn't let go. He calculated the price was too high. And so he enjoyed the safety of the airplane. But he missed an amazing wow. I find a lot of people in life are like that when it comes to God's majesty and glory. You can play it safe if you want. You can hang on to all the other little wows in your life and cultivate them, expand them, grow them, brag about them. But don't be upset when other people have their souls explode with wows that they can hardly even describe to you. God meant it for you too. But you do have to let go. Let me simply ask you in closing, what's your wow? God is wonderful, he's open, and he's willing. But what's the wow in your life? You have to identify that this morning. Is it God himself, or is it something else? One of my dear friends back in Canada, I didn't know him at the time. He and his wife and family began attending our church. So we went to visit them with a couple people and ended up sharing the gospel with them. We shared the wonderful story of Christ and how he died to give them new life and invited them to come and enjoy God's wow. And I'll never forget his answer. He said, well, I don't think I can do that. And I said, why? And he said, well, because I have this strong feeling that if I give my life to the Lord, that he's going to ask me to give up something that's very important to me. And I said, and what could that be? And he said, well, I love to gamble. And I said, really? He says, oh, yeah. He says, gambling is the biggest thrill of my life. I said, well, you've obviously done well at it. Because it wouldn't be if you weren't. And he says, yeah, I've done very well at it. And he said, I can't give that up. And I said, so, Bob, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much wow does gambling give you? He said, oh, 10, that's easy. It's a 10. It's always been a 10. And I said, really? He says, yep. I said, well, take a wild guess where God would come in on that scale. And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, God would probably come in around a 36. And he said, what do you mean? I says, he just blows away the scales. You can't compare. We left that night. They never did anything other than to say they'd think about it. But unbeknownst to me, they thought about it. I don't think they prayed about it. I don't know. But 3 nights later, he and his wife got on their knees beside their bed, and they said, Lord, we're willing to do whatever we need to do to experience your wow, to have you come into our lives and do what you want to do. That was, that was probably 20 years ago. That guy's a real close buddy of mine today. It's been exciting to watch God work in his life. And if you ask Bob, do you ever regret that moment? Do you ever wish you could go back to gambling? You know what his answer would be? Are you kidding? Give up a 10
for a 36 or a 40 or a 100 or whatever. There's no comparison. This morning, God offers you the same offer. He welcomes you into His life. He wants to come into yours. He wants to make a dynamic exchange of all the other wows for one. But with the wow is a woe, and only you can determine if the pleasure is worth the price. Will you pray with me? Father, You have revealed Yourself to us. You have related to us. And You want to reward us. You are an amazing wow. We simply ask that in each life here this morning, by Your Spirit, You would do Your deep work and bring us to that place where we are willing to let go of all the lesser wows in order to discover You. I pray especially for those people who are still wrestling, still having a hard time comprehending that anything in life could be more pleasurable, more fulfilling than what they already are experiencing. And for them, I pray, Lord, that You'll give them a special grace. Open their eyes to see You for who You really are. Give them a glimpse of Your majesty and glory. And then help them take that bold and courageous step. For those who already have experienced You, Lord, and continue to do so, I pray that You will move them away from huddling over to the other side and expecting somebody else to spoon-feed. I pray that You'll teach us all how to enter into Your relationship, how to listen to Your voice, and how to grow in You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.